Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci. This is Morenci Unfiltered. Let's bring in Steve Merrill as we do every Friday. Steve, it's been a crazy-ass week. Everyone's talking about the bubble. But people aren't talking about the March Madness bubble. People are talking about living in a bubble right now with the coronavirus starting to spread. I've been talking about this pandemic for a couple of weeks on this show, actually, Steve. And, you know, not to make light of anything, but I've had a lot of people tell me, well, you know, it's media propaganda, nothing more than the flu, etc. But the flu doesn't cause like $4.3 trillion to disappear overnight in the stock market. And we're seeing it is starting to catch up to the sports world a little bit. A lot of the Olympic preparations and events leading up to the Olympics have to be canceled. In Switzerland right now, they're not allowing any events, Steve, of any kind, like a concert, a game, in which there's more than 1,000 people at the same place at the same time. It would be naive of us to believe that eventually it's not going to come to this side of the shore, Steve.
Yeah, there's just so many things. You know, the financial markets over the years, I always said the analogies between that and the handicapping market, it's just a bigger market. And we're seeing that, obviously, as you mentioned, trillions of dollars lost within 5 days span. But yeah, it does affect the sports world as well. But just, you know, quickly on the investing side, it's really amazing, you know, how fast it's dropped this week. But to put it in perspective, it just basically reached the August lows from just 5 months ago. You know, we had that little bit of a correction in August, and then it's shot back up again. So even as bad as it's been the last 5 days, it's still where it was in August, just 5 months ago, which was an all-time high right before that, and it's close to the May low. So it's still up basically over the last year. So it really is amazing though how fast it happens, and that's what happens now. Tick, 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 boom. Tick, 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 boom. You know, and that's how it is now because there's a lot of systematic trading and sell-offs. I do think it's probably an overreaction. In the long term, we're going to look back and say that was an oversell-off. Yeah. But the problem is, just like sports betting, the market hates uncertainty. You and I hate uncertainty when it comes to sports betting, when we don't know if a key player is going to be in the lineup that night. And we usually stay, you know, I always say we pass on games where there's uncertainty. And that's the problem right now. This probably is no different than just a bad case of the flu. The thing is, we don't know how bad it's going to get. And it's that uncertainty with it now hitting the U.S. and other countries that scares people.
And if it does have a 2% death rate, and the projections are 65 million people could potentially get this, if you know, it's a lot of people still. And as you stated, I think that there's a bigger concern about the markets more than the actual people. And it's a good point that you raised, Steven. Everything is like, you know, I've been telling people this for years, and people used to sort of roll their eyes at me when I tell them that betting on sports is like playing the stock market. It is a stock market. Like, there's really nothing else different besides you get a better return, actually, or a quicker return, I should say. But it's a good point. It's almost like the stock market's like a handicapper, Steve, that, you know, was 38-6, right? Went on a 38-6 run, and now it's, all right, now the capper lost 7 bets in a row, right? And people are in a panic that the bettor can't win anymore because he's lost 7 bets in a row. But you can say, yeah, but hey, I was 38-6 before I just lost 7 games in a row.
And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is the bottom line, long-term, the stock market looks at valuations. And historically speaking, depending on which metrics you look at, this is either the first or second. Well, a week ago, it was either the first or second most expensive stock market in history. The only time it had been more expensive was in the 2000 peak during the dot-com, and we had a little bust right after that. So the problem is, when you have a market that's extremely overvalued, it doesn't take much bad news or concern to make people sell off fast. And now we actually have some legitimate concerning news with this coronavirus and a very expensive stock market. It was a perfect storm for a fast sell-off, and that's exactly what we've seen this week.
Now, can you imagine, though, Steve, because there is so much money at stake, and they're talking about the Olympics, and there is uncertainty. It's difficult for the athletes, but I guess I can say, what a time to be alive, pardon the pun, Steve. And here we are right now in 2020, and, you know, what's the future? I mean, sports fans sitting in rubber suits, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Olympic Village is going to be people walking around in masks everywhere. And for the record, I was reading about how masks don't do anything, Steve. It's not going to, the mask doesn't help. Right. It might make people feel better, but the mask ain't helping you. Yet there's so much money involved with the Olympics. I mean, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't, right? If they shut this thing down, there's literally like billions and billions and billions of dollars lost. If they don't shut it down, then you know what? You've got like millions of people together in closed quarters on a daily basis, going to different events. And we've seen, Steve, I'm sure you've seen it. They played soccer games in empty stadiums in Italy already. I'm just thinking, because I've always told people, and I was always just sort of kidding when I was talking about the finance of the NFL, when I said the NFL could play in front of empty stadiums and still make $5 billion a year. Like, they don't need one fan. They could play in empty stadiums. And it actually might happen, Steve. I mean, like, who knows the future, right? I mean, because you know a network will say, listen, let's, you know, I understand we got issues, but we can't cancel this because there's so much money at stake. So let's play the game, but play it in front of an empty stadium like they did in Europe. It wouldn't shock me, Steve, if we see this, let's say, in 3 months here in North America.
Yeah, and of course, the time of year as well. Keep in mind, if this really is a flu-like virus, which it appears to be, you know, flu is always bad in the winter, and it's almost non-existent in the summer. So it probably won't be as bad this summer, no matter what it is. But it could affect baseball. And I think if there's one sport in the regular season which home field means absolutely nothing other than batting in the bottom of the ninth, it's baseball. You know, as far as the crowd, it doesn't influence the officials at all like it does in hockey, basketball, and football even. Now, what could get interesting to me is the NBA playoffs, because basketball is the one sport where the fans make the difference, because they do influence the officials a bit, and home court is worth more in basketball than any other sport. So maybe you start looking, if you really think that's going to play out, maybe you start looking at some of the longer shots in the NBA. You know, historically speaking, the NBA, the top seeds normally always win the championship. So it'd be the Lakers or the Bucks, you know, the Raptors, somebody along those lines. Maybe you take a shot with a 6 or 7 seed. That'd be the only way I think you could play it. I think baseball, though, the regular season is very meaningless to start with. I don't think it's going to affect March Madness. We're close enough now, just less than a month out, where I don't think it's going to hit that. Although I will say this, Gabe, it looks like California is kind of the epicenter. How ironic is that, right? China and California, the two biggest problems we have on Earth, are the two that have the coronavirus affecting us the most. Maybe it could affect some tournament games out west, but right now I don't think it's going to probably play out that way.
Well, one company that this is affecting, Steve, and this just proves the stupidity of the average person, is Corona beer. 38%. Steve, 38% of Americans polled believe that you can get coronavirus from Corona beer.
Somebody sent me a meme like back in late January when this wasn't as serious, and they said some blonde pouring out all of her Corona. So I've been laughing about that for a month, but I didn't know it was 30-some% of the damn U.S. now. Good for Heineken.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've dropped a couple of jokes about coronavirus. Yeah, I've had a few of those in the morning. You know what I mean? After drinking about 22 of those, right? Like, but I actually thought, I was like, oh God! Like, of all names that you come up with, you know, like when there's a hurricane or something, and it's always bad. Like, there's always some lady named Jane or something out there. Your mother, and it's like, yeah, Hurricane Jane just killed 2,000 people, like Katrina. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I like that name. Oh, Katrina. Oh yeah, Hurricane. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain, like, people like, you know what's crazy? Like, Steve, like, ISIS was actually a name for kids before. Like, there's models. It was like a hip name. You know what I'm saying?
You, well, you don't see a lot ISIS of Adolfs like in the
15
last,
years ago.
You don't see a lot of Adolfs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adolfs the last 7 years have been a kind of a dying name as well.
Yeah, so, exactly. You know, it's not a lot of like, people naming their kids Saddam in America who's safe.
You know, little saying? Adolf. How so, cute is little Adolf?
Yeah, it's what's your kid's name? Little Adolf. Yeah, yeah. Little Addie.
So, we'll call him Adam.
Like, can you imagine? Like, being, you just look at, like, what are you kidding me? Like, you name your kid what? So I thought when this came out, I thought right away, I'm like, oh God, like, people are so stupid. They think, like, that it's like 1 in 4 Americans think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows, Steve. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, this isn't good. I was like, this isn't good for Corona. And lo and behold, I'm just shocked, Steve. 38% of people asked will not drink Corona now because of the coronavirus. Like, 3.8% out of 10 are that stupid, Steve.
And you understand why Bernie Sanders is getting 41% of the support from the Americans. And it's a 3% margin of error on these polls normally, right? So it's exactly the same.
Yeah, well, I think there's enough stupidity to go around for all the candidates, Steve, to be honest.
No, but in reality, scare me that 38% of those people are eligible to vote for anybody.
Yes. Yes.
No matter who your candidate
is. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That I will 1,000,000% agree with. Look, I've already got on record in stating that the state of Florida should not be allowed to vote, Steve, right? And I think there's probably a few others. So on a serious note, and, you know, we only got like 1 minute left in the segment, but, you know, eventually, like, they're in the future, there'll be like AI, you know what I'm saying? Like, artificial intelligence will rule everything. And it might not be, you know, would you be against that? Would you rather have some, like, complete idiot or, like, a computer running things?
Well, hey, look, computers are smarter than 99% of Americans, and they probably have more common sense now than 50% of them, which is a scary thought. But keep in mind, somebody still has to program that computer. And see, now California and Google and all these people think recently isn't giving me a lot of, you know, optimism on that front either. But there's a lot of room in the universe. And I love watching these sci-fi shows. You forget how big the universe is. There's a lot of space for all of us. Yeah. We just need that rocket ship from Tesla, and their stock dropped like 50%, so that's not a good thing.
That's a good point. Yeah, and, you know, I wonder about that Tesla stock. I keep hearing about how valuable it is. I never see anyone driving any of these things. You know what I mean? No one buys them, but evidently the speculators are convinced that somebody eventually will. You want to talk about psycho, Steve, that Elon Musk guy. Holy crap, he's a piece of work. For a guy that's worth as much money as he is. Marinci Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morenci on Filtered Sports Grid podcast. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill right now. And we were just talking about stupidity. So, Steve, so speaking of stupidity, there's enough of it to go around for everybody right now. And it's funny because you stated, you know, we stated that 38% of Americans asked said they won't drink Corona now because of the coronavirus. Now, and for the record, I, for one, do like Corona. And I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the sale, Steve. I'm going to gladly walk into the store actually Saturday morning and load up on some Corona, actually. I'm expecting to get a discount, though, now. You know, and like you said earlier, if you're Heineken, this is great. You're rolling out. Like, it's like, oh, yeah.
Like, you know what's funny, Dave? I've never liked the Heineken. Of all the beers, like Heineken's skunk. Always been the big name. I know. It's been the one big name brand since I was 18 years old and 3 years below the drinking limit and still never liked it. But I've always liked Corona as well. And there's something about the Corona brand. They probably have the best brand in all of alcohol. You know, you just think of the beaches, parties, a slice of lime. So it's kind of ironic that the one that's whose brand's getting killed now probably had the best beer brand since I've been alive.
Yeah, they're going to have to. You're right. They do have those ads on the beach with hot chicks. And they have a good PR firm. They're going to need them now, right? They're going to need them now, Steve. So speaking of stupidity and the exact, I said the exact same thing. I did a mini video earlier this week, Steve. So Garth Brooks wore a Barry Sanders jersey at a concert on Thursday night. And if, you know, no one ever thought about it before until you actually see it. But Sanders wore number 20. So Sanders 2020, Steve. Sanders 20. Bernie Sanders.
Is that what he meant?
So people flip out. And basically, you know, say, I'm never going to another Garth Brooks show again. You're a millionaire. I didn't know you were a pinko commie socialist. I hate you. Like, they got nasty, and they got nasty fast. And the show, but the thing is, it's like people need to chill out and slow down. Number one, people always say, like, keep politics out of entertainment, sports, and music until they agree, right, with the politics. Like, until they agree with the politics that celebrity or athlete actually endorses. But it was a Bernie Sanders, you know, so Bernie Sanders, of course, you know, 2020 Sanders, Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions wore number 20, but no, Steve, he wasn't endorsing Bernie Sanders. He was wearing a Barry Sanders shirt. The show was at Ford Field in Detroit. They played in Detroit. He wore a Barry Sanders jersey. And for the record, Garth Brooks went to Oklahoma State. At the same time, Barry Sanders went to Oklahoma State. Knows him. Obviously knows him. And was a tribute and sending a shout out to his boy, Barry Sanders, as he was playing in Detroit. Yet, registered voters, Steve, took about 0.2 seconds to attack him for wearing the Sanders 20 jersey, which, you know, we go back to, like, basically 1 in 4 of people thinking the chocolate milk comes from brown cows. And I just thought, Steve, well, these are registered voters. You know, it's actually like one of the first things that popped in my mind. I'm like, oh, God, like, these are people that, like, shape, like, public policy and, like, future policy, Steve. People that are outraged because he's wearing a Detroit Lions jersey because they think he's supporting Bernie Sanders.
Well, my favorite thing, too, is the people that are against voter ID. Because yet I'm always like, well, you know, you want honest elections. You don't want fraud or the potential for fraud, you know, in any other realm of life, whether you get like Zyrtec over the counter or you want to buy alcohol or really do anything, you have to show ID sometimes. And their argument against it, of course, well, of course they want a voter base, but their argument on paper is that it's too complicated for some people, or some people don't have an ID. And then I go right back to what you're saying, Gabe. I'm thinking, you know, look, if you can't figure out in modern 2020 how to get an ID or some form of identification, you probably shouldn't be voting in the first place.
See, so I think the moral of this podcast so far is no one's qualified to vote, Steve.
There's different levels of qualification, but if you can't figure out the guy's wearing a football jersey, or you don't know coronavirus didn't come from a Mexican beer.
I can't disagree. Or you can't get an ID. Yeah.
As an adult.
Yeah.
And if you're going through life, and here's the other thing, Gabe, if you're going through life not needing an ID as an adult, what are you even doing? It's like, do you leave that? You must not be leaving the house, which once again tells me you probably shouldn't be voting because you're not in the real world.
Well, and that's the thing. And I wouldn't state that you need 18 pieces of ID because there's old people and they were born before this and that. But you're right. One piece of paper, something, right? Like, I totally I don't have a problem.
Stone in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. But we're just getting started, Steve. 2020. It's crazy. 2020's like already produced like insane stories, and it will continue to. Like, we're just getting started, and we'll see how we can ramp up the stupidity and the insanity. So, NASCAR, Steve, into its third week right now, third race of the season. They stay on the West Coast. And, of course, Donald Trump was in the pace car a couple of weeks ago at Daytona. And NASCAR season got off with quite the bang, of course, with Ryan Newman and the big crash. And then Joey Logano, of course, gets it done. So we've had Hamlin and Logano. Now we're in California, a track that historically Jimmy Johnson has owned. And for years we've talked about Jimmy Johnson here. It's been 97 races, I see, Steve. 97 races since Jimmy has won a race. You know, you got to believe he's going to win again at some point in time. He has been the king of California over the years. It's amazing too when you look at his numbers here. 25 starts. He owns records. Average finish 7.6. He's won six times here. 13 top fives, 17 top tens. He's led 980 laps in his career at the California. Jimmy's not what he used to be, but he is the kingpin on this track. Does he have a shot at glory left in him, Steve?
Yeah, you know, Stewart won that road course on his final season when he wasn't running that strong. I think Gordon maybe got a win also a couple years back in his final year. Because he snuck into the playoffs because of it, I believe. So with that logic, you would figure Johnson will find a way to win this year. But if you look at what he's been doing the last years, he probably won't. The one bright spot, though, last week, Gabe, he ran pretty well at Vegas, which is another intermediate speedway. And Hendrick, his team, had all four drivers in the top 12 late in that race at one point. So they do have the horsepower, I think, to win on a track like this, and we know he's good on this track. So, yeah, he'll be in the mix. I think Kevin Harvick's still the guy to beat. He was the strongest car last week. Keep in mind, last week, very misleading results because they had a late pit window with a caution, and then some guys got stuck on pit row and in that pit window on the final restart. Logano was supposed to pit with the five leaders. He misunderstood, stayed out, and won accidentally. So it was really a random finish. My other takeaway, though, the guy that could have won both races so far, Ryan Blaney, Dave Blaney's son. Ryan Blaney's looked really good so far on both tracks, and I think he could be a bit of a sleeper this year, along with the guy you keep mentioning, Eric Jones, who's the fourth driver on that Gibbs team, which looks strong once again.
Yeah, as you mentioned, so we've had two races, yet two strange endings, right? Daytona is
exactly
always random,
yep,
and sort of, you know, not random because the usual suspects are, you know, at the top in the plate races. But it was a crazy, crazy ending, obviously. Denny Hamlin catapulted to victory. Ryan Newman got catapulted to the hospital. Blaney was in the middle of it, right? So that was weird. You mentioned last week wasn't really an orthodox, someone dominated, and, you know, that, all right, you know, we don't really know yet. You know, like, we're 2 weeks in. We haven't had really a clean race. I guess that's the best way of putting it, Steve. A clean race, right? You know, like, we haven't really defined who really the races are to beat yet.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, last week's track was a mile and a half. This is a 2 mile. It transfers very well. It's a sister track of Michigan, the other big 2 miler. Kyle Larson's got more second place finishes of these type of tracks than anyone recently. So he'll be in the mix as well. Last week, I thought William Byron, one of Johnson's teammates on Hendrick, looked very strong.
Yep.
We know Chase Elliott is strong on that team. So I do think they'll be in the mix this week on those Hendrick cars. And that gives Johnson a chance. And, hey, look, you know, it's early in the season, so I don't think they'll do it yet. But if they get late enough in the season on a track like this, they maybe could work together to try to get him a win. So it might happen, maybe not this week, but I saw enough horsepower last week from that Hendrick team that makes me think Johnson might have a chance to win this year, which is something I didn't think coming into the season.
Yeah, and you know, at times it's almost, with NASCAR betting, Steve, you almost, if you're going to take a guy, and I know that different tracks are different, right? And, you know, we talk about the cookie cutters and the short tracks, et cetera, but like, if you're in with Jimmy winning this year at some point, you almost take him on a weekly basis so you don't miss out. You know what I mean? And yeah, I almost feel that way with Eric. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way with Eric Jones, too. Like, he's 28-1, Steve. Eric Jones is going to win some races this year. At some point, he's winning. And I want to be there when he does, because, as you stated, I've had this guy circled coming into the year. And I don't want to say, oh, I knew he was going to win, but I took him twice already and he didn't win. I'm just saying, with NASCAR, you almost have to get in on a weekly basis with the same guy. I remember, listen, you and I have been talking NASCAR a long time. I remember when I did the same thing. And remember, Martin Truex just couldn't get a damn win, Steve. I remember I was betting on Truex all the time, and I was like, it's going to come. It's going to come. He's coming close. It's going to come. And then, boom, when it came, man, he won a lot when he started winning.
Yeah, and I'd say almost with Jones, you know, make sure he's consistently in the top 10, you know, late in the race. And if he is, start playing him every week. I don't disagree with that, because you're getting 20 to 31 odds. You only have to hit once basically all season to make money. And these guys do run in cycles. I'm surprised it's been 97 races for Johnson. I know he hasn't won the last couple seasons, but that's over three seasons basically. And these guys, it runs in cycles. You know, some guys you think win a lot go 20, 30 races. But, yeah, I like Jones as a sleeper, and Blaney has looked really strong. And I think Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson are guys in the up-and-coming as well.
We'll take a quick break. Morenci Unfiltered. Get on a grid.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morenci Unfiltered, get on the grid. I am Morenci. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve, the bubble watch is on right now. March Madness around the corner, and it really is. It's going to sneak up on us. Actually, you know what? This is next week, conference tournaments begin. Like, you know, the West Coast Conference, it's into the final weekend right now. So we have a few of the conferences, more than a handful actually, are into their final weekend of regular season play. Then their conference tournaments will begin next weekend. It'll be the West Coast Conference. And then next weekend, the Power Conferences will be winding down their regular season. And then the following week, conference tournaments, big time conference tournaments, and then boom, following week, March Madness. So this really is kind of the final weekend before it gets real, real, Steve.
Yeah, we're close. I mean, you look at like the one I follow closely, the Colonial, the CAA, they have their final games tomorrow and they play next week. And it's my alma mater, William & Mary, one of the only four teams since the 40s never to make the tournament, are going to go in probably as the two seed. And they have a chance this year. It's going to be interesting. And then the week after that, all the big boys like the ACC, Big 12, they all have their tournament. So we're only about 1 to 2 weeks away for them, this wrapping up. One thing I love this time of year is last home games. You know, we use it a little bit in college football, but the best sport is college basketball. Now, it doesn't work as well as it used to because so many one-and-dones, you don't have a lot of seniors anymore. Where it does still work well, though, Gabe, is with the mid-major teams, like William & Mary. Tomorrow, they're sending off one of their best players ever, this guy Nathan Knight, who's a 6'10", big man, has NBA potential. He's been here all 4 years, you know. So the mid-major schools this weekend, especially since a lot of them start their tournaments next week, the last home game is a very strong handicapping angle that we'll have tomorrow for many of these schools.
Interesting. And, you know, as you stated, so the mid-major schools, more so too, the mid-major schools are going to be the teams that actually have guys that have been there the whole time, right? And
exactly.
Yeah, they're going to have that relationship with the fan base, the student, the alumni, et cetera. Because I was thinking about this, and we were talking about this earlier in the week, actually. I took Pacific at Loyola Marymount. And, you know, Pacific are actually pretty good this year. They played some pretty good basketball. I think they're 19-10 now or so, actually. So, you know, not a great conference, but nevertheless. So, anyways, it was Loyola Marymount, and the thought process as well, not just because they were a better team, Steve, but on the flip side of that, teams that are horrible, right? If you're a bad basketball team, like Loyola Marymount have lost like 8 of 9 games now, they're not going anywhere, right? They just, you know, they just want the season to be over. The home, there is no home court at this point, Steve. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about the teams that don't have a ton of support to begin with, and then they're bad. The gyms are like half empty. The student base have given up on them, and they're not going. Maybe, you know, some of them go at some schools. So it's an interesting dynamic. It's almost case by case and school by school how these sure. teams approach the final week of play.
Yeah, no question about it. And yeah, you don't play it on the blind, that's for sure. And like I said, you have to make sure they even have seniors. Some of these teams, especially the big schools next week, they won't have any seniors on their final home game. Although with that said, if you know the guys are leaving after 1 or 2 years, it's still kind of a send-off, I guess. But I'd like to factor with other things such as revenge. This time of year, these are all second meeting matchups that we have this week and next. They've all played each other for the most part earlier in the season. You look for misleading results where maybe a team was extremely hot or cold from three or the free throw line. Maybe a key player got in foul trouble early. That's one of my favorite angles of all. You really have to kind of dig into the box scores to find that. But I love misleading results. And what's great about college hoops, most of these conferences, especially the smaller ones, play home and home. You know, they all play each other twice, which means we have a ton of revenge setups and we have a lot of last home games. And when those go hand in hand, it's even a stronger play normally.
FanDuel has some interesting props up already, and I know they're going to have a ton of props. There's so many different options you can bet on now with these tournaments. But you know, specifically, will teams win a region head to head? How many conferences? You know, how many teams are going to advance, and all that. How far? Who will go further? And you know, there's going to be a million options. But right now, they have the one seeds, so you can bet who the one seeds are going to be, Steve, for the NCAA tournament. Baylor's 10-1. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? There's not a lot you can do with 10-1. You got about $100. There's nothing there. You're not getting anything back. Kansas also 10-1. I think it's pretty safe to say that both Kansas and Baylor are looking at one seed, Steve. Gonzaga.
You mean 1-10. You're saying 1-10, correct? You're risking 10 to win one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Minus 1,000. Yeah, you know, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Why do they do that? Minus 1,000. Why don't like they? Why yeah, like
when he said 10 to 1 would mean like you're risking 1 to get 10 normally. I figured he meant the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. No. 100 exactly. Gotcha. So Kansas is the same thing. Minus 1,000.
Right.
Gonzaga 1,000 to 100. Yeah, yeah. Minus 600, minus 650 for Gonzaga to be the one seeds. So, you know, you can't bet no either. There is no option, right? So right. You're not going to bet yes on any of those schools. But then you get in, there has to be 4 1 seeds. Then you get into, will San Diego State be a one seed in the tournament? Plus 100. Will Dayton be a one seed in the tournament? Plus 125. Will Maryland be a one seed in the tournament? Plus 125. Will Florida State be a one seed? Florida State, to me, is a little bit of a sleeper that people aren't talking about, but I don't know if they're going to be a one seed. Duke to be a one seed is plus 250. Who do you think ends up as the one seed, Steve? Is Dayton, you know, Dayton's only lost two games all year. If they run the table, you know, they're people like Dayton, the computers like Dayton. What about Dayton plus 125 to be a one seed?
Yeah, I don't use the RPI for any rankings or anything. There's a lot of good ones out there like Sagarin, KenPom, and those. I think that are pretty close to my power ratings. RPI appears to be, you know, what the committee looks at. So I'd have to look at the RPI to see how they have it, because I would think that'd be your safest bet. Obviously, some of it will change with the tournaments. But, I mean, for example, right now I've got Duke 10 spots ahead of Florida State in my rankings. Yet Florida State has only 4 losses. Duke has 5. So it depends on what the committee looks at. I can't imagine. Florida State's not in the top 15 team for me right now in my power ranking. So there's no way they deserve it.
Really?
So I don't think they would get it. They'd have to win the ACC tournament. If they beat Duke and then win the NCAA ACC tournament, different story. But, yeah, I don't have them even in the top 10 of my power rankings right now. I do like Dayton. I do like San Diego State. I think they're legit top 6, top 8 teams this year. San Diego State would definitely be my choice, but they just lost last week. But I still have them as like a top 4 team, which would be a one seed. I think they're very good on both ends of the court. So San Diego State right now above all of those. My sneaking suspicion, though, is that Duke will probably win the ACC tournament and sneak in as the other one seed.
You know, it wouldn't shock me if Duke wins the ACC tournament, obviously. We're not going on a limb in saying that. But at the same point in time, I don't like this Duke team in the big picture, Steve, in the grand scheme of things. I think, you know, you take away how do these tournament teams play on the road, and it seems to me Duke aren't a great road team. I just don't know about their mental toughness. To me, that's the thing. I don't know about this team's mental toughness. You know, I'm talking big picture. I'm not saying they're going to get bounced in the first game or anything, but I think they're going to have their hands full in the first weekend.
I doubt there's a time in recent history, if ever, that, you know, the national champion has lost as a 28-point home favorite, which they did to Stephen F. Austin back in November or early December.
That's a good trend, Steve.
A losing Wake team. Yeah, but then look at the Wake loss this week. That was almost as bad on the road. You know, so yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a great suspect.
I like though. You know, we always say like, no team has ever won when losing to the Jets. I think there's actually a thing like that. I think that's I think that's actually true. I think that there's some weird thing like that, Steve. Like, no team's ever won the Super Bowl if they lost to the Jets that year type thing. You know, there's always going to be weird anomalies. But I was just stating, like, here's a new trend for Mark Lawrence's playbook. No team that has lost as a 28-point favorite has won the title before. But it's a good point to you, right? Then they did it again. They lose as, what, 12-point favorites on the road or whatever it was? 11.5, 12 against a pretty bad Wake Forest team. As well. But look at the difference, Steve. And this tournament, I think, is going to be really indicative of this. Excuse me, in which I remember in the old days, let's say, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, the 1 versus 16, the point spread was like 45 points. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Duke laying, you know, 39.5, 40. That would sort of be common. Now, you know, the 1 versus 16 might be 16.5 points, Steve. I also remember the first two games used to be a complete joke, right? If you were a good team, it was like, well, whatever. The first game's a real joke. And then, you know what? We're gonna cruise in the second game as well. And things will start to get harder in the Sweet 16, a bit, Elite 8. This year's going to be different. Like, I don't care who you are. You're going to be playing a pretty tough opponent in your second game this year in the tournament, Steve.
Yeah, and the thing for me, too, is how, you know, there's no great team anymore. And we all know that, obviously. It's been like that for many years now with, you know, guys leaving after 1 or 2 years. You don't get these powerhouse teams. But if you look at the adjusted efficiency ratings right now for every team, offense and defense,
There's only four teams in the entire country out of 353 teams that rank top 15 in offense and defensive efficiency. There are only four of them: Kansas, Baylor, San Diego State, and Duke. Duke's actually the other one. And actually, if you want to get technical, it's top 16. I think Baylor's the 16th offense. So those would be only four teams that are top 16 in both offense and defensive efficiency. So those are probably your one seeds right there. And you notice Gonzaga's number one overall. They're 34th on defense, number one offense. So all these teams are vulnerable. There's very, very few teams that are really well balanced.
And Gonzaga's another team, Steve, that in the big picture, I'm just not buying. I don't see how this year is going to be different than past years. I think they'll win a few games, and there'll be heartbreak awaiting. I just don't think they're tough enough. They don't play a tough enough schedule, and not that they're not good players, but when they get in really tight games against good teams, they just don't have the experience, Steve.
Right, and last year, despite all the uncertainty, last year was the best bracket I've ever had. Three of the four Final Four I got right, Michigan State, and then I had both Texas Tech and Virginia in the finals and had Virginia beating them. So it was the best bracket I've ever had. And if you look at the common theme there, good defensive half-court teams. And historically, that's what works in the tournament because they're all one-and-done scenarios. And Virginia's a real interesting team for me this year. Right now, they're
hold
like 200 in the offense, fourth in defense.
Hold that thought, because I tell you what, I actually, you know, I'm curious. I'm interested in this Virginia Cavalier team. Renzi Unfiltered, get on the grid.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
We're talking March Madness as the tournament is rapidly approaching, just from a general perspective right now. And I brought this up, guys, that 10 of the last 13 champions have been one seeds. So, you know, I get a little, I find it a little crazy when Lenardi and all these guys are freaking out about whether someone's going to be a 6 seed or a 7 seed and who's an 8 seed and who's a 9 seed. That stuff is all irrelevant. It really is. But being a one seed is not irrelevant. And Steve, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. 10 of the last 13 champions have been one seeds. If you want to go a little bit deeper than this, let's go back 35 years. 22 of the last 35 champions have been one seeds. So the one seed that, you know, has been on fire, Steve, right now. But you know what I find amazing about this and is fascinating to me? That only once, Steve, only once in this format in 35 years have all four one seeds made the Final Four.
Yeah, and only once has the 16 seed beat the one seed. It happened just 2 years ago, so 10 of the other 12 years the one seed won, yeah. And that included Virginia coming back to win it last year.
And that team that lost to the 16s, yes, he comes back and wins the title the following year.
That's why I love talking about
there's
him.
A new trend.
Yeah, and that's why.
There's a new trend. So you were just talking about him. What about the Cavaliers?
Well, and I've always said over the years, they always said, you know, would a 16 beat a 1? And I said, it's going to have to be the right matchup. Like when Princeton almost knocked Georgetown off 30 years ago because they played to a snail's pace. And what's ironic is Baltimore County didn't do that, but Virginia plays that way. So as the big favorite, it enabled the underdog to keep it close, and they shot good threes. Virginia was ice cold, and they lost. So that's why it's going to happen, but that's why these half-court teams are so dangerous, but they're also so unpredictable. Virginia right now, 200th offensively, 4th defensively, and they're barely in the top 40 or 50 of most power rankings. but they play at the absolute slowest tempo of all 353 teams this year, like they normally do. So they're going to be dangerous again in a one-and-done scenario. You know, we talked about Duke being one of only four teams that are top 15 offense and defense. Well, guess what? They play at one of the fastest paces in the country, as does Gonzaga. So I think you have good reason to be suspect of both Gonzaga and Duke, because that's not the type of makeup that does well in a 6-1-and-done scenario, especially if you catch a good half-court team like Virginia or West Virginia, a good defensive team, or even like Baylor, another good shutdown half-court team.
So we've somewhat exposed Gonzaga and Duke. We talk about Duke and their weakness. Listen, they lost, as Steve stated, they lost to Stephen F. Austin, 28-point favorites. They lose to Wake the other night. And, you know, Steve, I can live with, all right, you know what, the other team hit a million shots and we lost at the buzzer. They hit a three. The Duke game, Duke would come back and Wake Forest would counterpunch, Steve. And Duke tied the game late to go to overtime, and you think, all right. And we know this all the time, Steve. Like, when you bet on a game and you're the team that blows it going in overtime, how many times have you lost the bet after? It's like, oh, God, we've lost all momentum. The team's going to fall apart, especially in college now. So, but no, Wake Forest didn't get down on themselves. They ended up kicking the crap out of Duke in overtime, like, convincingly, actually, after the fact. So I've seen Duke wilt. Gonzaga, really good, playing a bad conference. They're not tested enough. Don't play a good enough defense, in my opinion, either. And as Steve just pointed out, the numbers are right there. Gonzaga and Duke are in the same range. They're the second and third choices to win. Kansas is 7-1. Baylor's 9-1. Gonzaga's 9-1. And then Duke's 12-1. So we didn't talk about Kansas and Baylor. Do any of your numbers expose either of these two teams, because their resumes are pretty bulletproof?
Yeah, those are my top two picks right now. If you had to place two future wagers, it'd be on Kansas and Baylor. I think Kansas is the best team, and they're the only team that ranks top 10 offense and defensive efficiency, the only team in the country that's top 10 in both. So they are the best team. The reason, though, I like Baylor in that mix is they play extremely slow and they have as good of a defense as anyone. They have that makeup of Virginia and Texas Tech that both made the finals last year. By the way, Gabe,
yeah, this year's Texas Tech. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. And the other team that could be as well is San Diego State. But my concern there is that they played such a weak schedule. I think they have the makeup, the half-court defense, the good slow pace. But when it comes to crunch time, which it probably will in one of those six games, I just don't think you can simulate not having that experience, and that's my concern with San Diego State.
You know, that's my somewhat concern with Baylor, but we'll get to that in a second. But you're right about San Diego State. Their size and athleticism will cause people problems. Their defense will cause people problems. Their pace will cause people problems. Their aggressive rebounding. They got, you know, all guys on the court will get after it. But there's going to be their ugly shooters, Steve. The level of competition that they played wasn't great, and they're not great shooters, right? They score because they just sort of outwork you, and they put points up on the board. But in a tournament, that's going to be tough right there. About Baylor, that's the one thing. Can Baylor score enough points, Steve, to win?
Keep in mind, Gabe, you know, you mentioned San Diego State, the shooting, it's kind of ugly. You know, we talked about Virginia with that makeup, how they lost to a 16 seed and then won the whole thing. Keep in mind what had to happen last year for them to win the tournament. Purdue, they had a lucky shot to beat them. Auburn, they could have easily lost that Auburn game in the Final Four. I mean, so there again,
they got a couple of crazy calls. They had a couple of really close calls go their way, too, right? Like the ball out of bounds that could have went either way type of stuff. You're right. It was destiny for them. Like, after losing, like, as a 16 seed, somehow, you know, they lucked their way through the tournament. You're going to have to be lucky. You're right. I just don't think San Diego State can be lucky six times in a row in this tournament.
Well, and the problem, too, when you play that style like Virginia and San Diego State and even Baylor, where you're more defense, slow down, less offense, there's just too many situations they're going to be tight where if a ball bounces the wrong way, you're not going to win. Whereas a team like Kansas can have 8-10-point leads in a lot of those games and not have to sweat it.
All right, so we got Kansas, Baylor, real contenders. We both agree Gonzaga's not. Duke, you know, Duke, you can never say aren't, but I'm not buying in Now we get to Dayton, and obviously the bracket that they're in and their opponents comes into play here for all these teams, but Dayton's at 15-1. Is that enough? I know they're good. I know their power ranking is good, Steve, but are the odds good at 15-1? I mean, Dayton winning the tournament would be a shock, even as good as they are. I know it's trendy to say Dayton this, Dayton that, but let's just be real. If Dayton cuts down the nets, that's a shock, Steve. I don't know if 15-1 is enough.
No, I have no interest in Dayton at 15-1. My concern with them is exactly the concern of San Diego State. They play a weaker schedule, but the difference is Dayton is all offense. San Diego State is more defense, slow down tempo. So the only reason I consider San Diego State is because they have such an annoying style. You know, when you have one day to prepare for them in those weekend, you know, the second and fourth round games, they could be real trouble. Dayton's going to have to pretty much outscore whoever they play. And when they step up in class, I just don't like that type of matchup.
You got Maryland at 15-1 in your backyard there. Are you buying the Terps as legitimate national champion contenders?
Yeah, Maryland and West Virginia both are really good defensive teams. Better defense, their offense is a concern on both of those teams. Michigan State would be the same way, but we see year after year how Michigan State is in the mix. I think both Maryland and West Virginia have similar styles to Michigan State. So all those teams are in the mix for that reason. One other team in my top 10 that we haven't talked about is Ohio State. They're actually only the fifth team in the country. Other than those four I mentioned before, they're the only other team that's top 20 in both offense and defensive efficiency. So Ohio State really, on some metrics, is the fifth best team in the country, the most fifth most balanced team in the country.
So Kansas is the only team in the top 10 in both offense and defensive efficiency, and Ohio State is the only team in the top 20. Very interesting. Shows the discrepancy. The fifth.
Yeah, the fifth. Yeah, you've got the five. Yeah, the five would be Kansas, Baylor, San Diego State, Duke, and then in Ohio.
Okay,
State
so the other one,
the top 15.
The other three are in the top 20. Okay, I get it. So shows the discrepancy, though, or between Kansas and everyone else. Almost, you got Louisville at 17-1. I like them, but I'm not buying if they win the tournament. You don't like Florida State. I do. I think Florida State. But they're not going to win. Florida State will make the Elite Eight or something like that. Kentucky at 20-1. Interesting. Yeah, you know, the Ducks 22, San Diego State 22. You mentioned Michigan State. I thought they were overrated. Auburn, I'm not buying. Here's a team, like, and you mentioned Ohio State. Like, Steve, I'd way rather have Ohio State at 40-1 than Dayton at 15-1. And
not even close.
How about Creighton? Creighton can't win, but is Creighton that team that might be able to make the Final Four? They're 30-1 right now, and you talked about offense. These guys have a lethal offense.
Yeah, I mean, if they get the right matchup, because they're just like Dayton. They're great offensively. They're very suspect on defense. But, hey, look, if Creighton and Dayton play, you know, we see the bracket. When the brackets come out, if we see that Creighton and Dayton are going to play each other in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, if they get that far, then obviously one of them has a much better chance now, because they're avoiding, say, maybe San Diego State or Baylor. Like, if Dayton or Creighton gets matched up soon with San Diego State or Baylor or West Virginia, one of those good defensive half-court teams, I like them a lot less. So, you know, obviously when we see the bracket, these odds will change. But, yeah, Ohio State is one of my top five most balanced teams, so at 40-1, definite value there.
And, Steve, we've got about a minute left. The Virginia Cavaliers, do they go back-to-back? No. I mean, you know, are they? You know, you just can't see that happening. But they're 80-1 right now. They're 80-1. And their style, as you stated, they're not, you know, yeah, they could have a bad night and lose and only score 47 points. But Virginia literally is a definition. They could beat anybody on any given night, Steve. Like, they really could. Bennett, especially in a tournament, Bennett can ratchet it up. And the possessions are limited. They are capable of beating anybody.
You're getting the defending national champs who play at the slowest pace in the country with the fourth most efficient defense in the entire nation at 80-1. It's worth a hedge. They get a couple rounds in, you could probably hedge it at that point.
No, you really can. Well, Steve, it'll be a lot of fun. The tournament is approaching, as you stated. We got the Colonial, we got the West Coast Conference, and all the others. And you know that's what March Madness is about, especially over the next couple of weeks, guys. In the end, nobody remembers who won the Big 12 tournament, all right? Nobody cares. I'm a Michigan fan. We win the Big 10 tournament every 2 years. In the end, it doesn't matter, all right? It's about, you know, it's about the real dance. But for these other smaller conferences, like William & Mary, never been to the dance before. You know, the Florida Gulf Coast of the world, the VCU burst onto the scene like this. So I always enjoy watching whatever school is going to put themselves on the map over the next month or so. Steve, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.